Hi, thanks so much for joining us. My name is Megan Welch. I'm the program specialist for the L4GA grant, Literacy for Learning, Living, and Leading in Georgia. We're so happy to have Dr. Roberta Gardner, an assistant professor of reading and literacy education at Kennesaw State University, and Elaine Black, the director of youth services at the Georgia Public Library Service. Today we're going to talk about our family and community partnerships that we have going on in the districts. So I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Gardner, to talk about what the research says generally about this topic.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of research out there that supports evidence-based practices and joint collaborations with libraries who are natural partners for increasing literacy outcomes across that birth all the way to 18-year spectrum. There's a significant amount of research about foundations for practice and how libraries can help with that. So because the L4 plan seeks to improve literacy outcomes across all age ranges within the feeder systems that we have, they include early childhood, elementary, middle, and high school. Can you talk a little bit, Elaine, about some of those efforts in the birth to five domain?
Sure. Public libraries in general have storytime opportunities, particularly for the toddlers and preschoolers, and those in general go all year. Sometimes they're weekly, sometimes they have a quarterly schedule, but there's always an opportunity for adult caregivers to come with their young children for some story times, which are all generally based around children's picture books. Okay. And those take place, again, across the state. We have 403 library facilities.
Wow.
There is a public library in all 159 counties. So there's lots of opportunity.
Parents can bring in their children to the libraries, and teachers could probably bring, or daycare teachers could probably bring groups.
Absolutely. And in general, those we ask, you know, call ahead before you all come, but absolutely, field trips to the library with child care centers is 100%.
And do librarians or media specialists ever go to the districts or to the schools or daycare centers?
You know, they definitely can, and that really depends. All of the, there are 62 library systems across the state, and each of them are independently run, and they create their own schedules, their own partnerships. But yes, I certainly am aware of library staff going into child care centers to provide story times, provide outreach for parents, library card drives, and the same with schools too. More so maybe in elementary schools, but middle and high would certainly work out too.
Yeah.
I know in Gwinnett County, and that's where I live, the last 3 years they've had a program called Branch Out, mm-hmm. where as soon as registration comes up, parents have the option to click, yep, I'd like to get a library card. It's run from their student ID, and that stays with them through their whole time in Gwinnett County Public Schools. Okay. And that gives them access to all the online resources and also to the print and audio materials that the libraries have. Cobb County mm-hmm. has a similar program that just got started this school year, and theirs is great because it's actually an opt-out. So unless you've clicked, nope, no thanks, all the children as they register are getting their public library card in Cobb County.
So for districts that don't have something like that in mm-hmm. place, how might they go about setting up that kind of cross-collaboration?
Well, it can be a process.
Sure.
The public libraries across the state, 43 of the systems are part of a big collaborative called PINES. Mm-hmm. And they all share a library card, or their card is good at any Pines facility.
Okay.
But each kind of community has their own rules and regulations surrounding getting those student cards. I know down in Brunswick at the Marshes of Glen Libraries, they do a library card for all first graders.
Okay.
And that started a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. each year they add those class of first graders. They get their cards. Down in Savannah, mm-hmm. a similar program where they're trying to get every student a library card. In Baldwin County, they have a digital library card mm-hmm. that provides access to their online resources. And it really, again, is a local partnership
sure.
that could take some time. There's a lot to work out when mm-hmm. you're accessing student records and
sure.
and that, but it's absolutely doable. And the idea of this student library card is something that our agency is very interested in, and we've been talking with the Department of Ed too over the past year to help kind of move that along and mm-hmm. help connect local systems together so that they can get those student cards. Generally, what's nice about the student card, and this isn't a requirement, it's not across the state, but I know in Gwinnett County and in Cobb, those are fee-free. Now, they do, if you've lost a book, they'd mm-hmm. like you to pay for the book, but mm-hmm. as far as late fees, there are no late fees associated with those student cards, because okay. that can be a barrier. Families
sure.
will hesitate to come in if they know they could potentially be on the hook for lots of money if
that's
a
right.
stack of picture books is even a week late. Those mm-hmm. fees start to add up, and with the student card, those communities really wanted to remove that barrier to access.
Can we back up a little bit
sure.
and just sort of talk about some of the other ways you guys collaborate to help to build readiness skills for new readers?
Sure. And if it's okay, I'll just give you some examples mm-hmm. of partnerships I'm aware of around the state.
Mm-hmm.
In Baldwin County, their library system is called the Twin Lakes Library System. And through the L4 grant, they've established a partnership where the school district is going to provide some funding to support additional programming that'll happen in the libraries. And what I really liked too is they're going to provide some transportation
nice.
During the summer months from some of the different early childhood facilities to the library during mm-hmm. their summer reading program. And
mm-hmm.
like the fees, transportation is another real mm-hmm. barrier to access. So that's one
yes.
way they're doing that. They're going to provide some parent education on the library and the resources. And then they're, again, working with that digital student library card, making sure families have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the library, for their piece, plan to increase the number of story times. They want to provide preschool and parent library during the summer. They will help promote and publicize the L4 GA events, and they'll do that through their website and their social media channels. And they also would like to provide that central location and really be a technology resource with the robust offerings that they have there.
Gotcha. So for when they say technology resources, when you mention that, you're talking about across the landscape of education. So that would include mm-hmm. other kids in a family that might be in middle school.
Oh, absolutely.
Or, okay.
Access to Galileo and the online databases.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, wireless access in their public library
mm-hmm.
itself, internet, public terminals for folks to jump online, That's what they, I think, are hoping to do with their technology.
So that online access to bridge that digital divide for those families
Absolutely.
That may not have access to technology at home.
Right. A little farther to the northeast, the Hall County Library System has been working with the Gainesville City Schools, another one of your L4 grantees. Mm-hmm. They serve on the, I guess, planning and implementation committee itself mm-hmm. as a community partner. Their youth services staff has attended the Train the Trainer for the Talk With Me Baby program.
That's great.
So that is, of course, getting at those real, the infants.
Sure.
And I think they do that in collaboration, too, with the Georgia Health Services,
wow.
who
okay.
are also a grant partner there mm-hmm. in Gainesville. Mm-hmm. They're also doing weekly library performances during the summer at Fair Street Elementary, mm-hmm. which is one of the target schools, I think, with the grant. And they're partnering with Boys and Girls Club as well to
wow.
get all of those kids who are in those summer programs signed up for the summer reading program and for library cards.
Mm-hmm.
They also want to do some training with the Gainesville City school staff on using their new summer reading program software. There are a couple summer reading software programs, and Beanstack is mm-hmm. kind of the biggest one,
mm-hmm.
where kids go online to track their reading. And it looks like in Gainesville, the teachers and media specialists will be able to have the kids updating their reading logs all summer long
mm-hmm.
and participate that way with that software.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking that old folder
reading log.
Where the reading log of
yeah.
the reading
That's
log
what
of
I know.
Old
yeah.
and just making that
digital.
Digital.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
There are still plenty of bookmarks and stickers to be had, though,
yeah.
if you go to your public library.
But it does provide another way to share data with
Absolutely,
the school system,
right? Yes.
Right.
Yes, because
okay.
before it would be kids coming back and having to physically go in, report, I met my reading goal. Libraries would track that, send that notice out to the schools, and then the schools would a lot of times have a little party or some
mm-hmm.
kind of special recognition for those summer readers.
Sure.
But now that's all online and I imagine can be just beamed out to the community partners much easier than tracking it by hand.
Sure. Yeah, that's powerful. So yeah. you've talked a little bit about the readiness programs you have. What about mm-hmm. for middle schoolers and high schoolers? I know that demographic can be somewhat of a challenge
mm-hmm.
to attract them, but what are some of the ways that you collaborated with school systems to support middle and high school students?
The libraries, many of them have maker spaces and lots of technology like the 3D printers or the Makey or some robotics programs. And what I've seen in partnerships that focus maybe on the tween and teens
mm-hmm.
are showing either the schools how they can come into the library and use that equipment or inviting the tweens and teens into the library spaces after school, evenings, weekends, where they can come in and really just explore what's available to them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of libraries will have a really dynamic teen space
mm-hmm.
with public access computers that are just for the teens. It's not, they don't have to worry about people coming into that space and adults taking over their computers.
Sure.
Dedicated spaces, really, great collections of print materials and just making, you know, the library into that third welcoming space for students, especially when the middle school or high school is right next to a public library.
Mm-hmm. What about in terms of tutoring students? Like at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
right, a middle school student or a high school student that is still
right.
struggling with acquiring strong literacy skills, what kind of support systems have been in place?
Well, the library staff themselves generally do not act as tutors,
mm-hmm.
but they can provide study rooms for tutors to come in. There's online databases that can provide that kind of homework help. What I've seen in my own local branch is someone that's kind of sitting at a table after school with a little sign that says homework help available, where students are made aware, hey, there's going to be somebody at the Collins Hill Library from 3 to 5 today, and if you need assistance, you can just come on in and get that kind of help. Mm-hmm. So that's really, again, providing that public space, that forum for students and tutors to meet up.
Well, I know a lot of data is showing also that when schools and libraries collaborate and market that kind of information mm-hmm. together, they have more success in,
absolutely.
You know, conveying that information, because sometimes parents or teachers may not know.
Right, that that's even available. And absolutely, when there's that strong local partnership and libraries are, or schools are aware of what the library has to offer because they're in communication, then yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Those resources then are put to much better use when mm-hmm. folks actually know
about it.
That's there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
for sure.
I would think too, for parents, that you have two generation literacy yeah. opportunities available. Yeah.
There is a grant program that 18 communities across the state take part in. It's called Primetime Family Reading Time, and that is a 6-week series where, and it's for children generally ages 6 to 10, that's the target, but then there's child care in the form of early literacy activities that take place during the
nice.
Book discussion. There's a meal
mm-hmm.
that the parents, the whole family shares the meal, and then the younger kids have their activities while the adult caregivers and the elementary students join a scholar and a storyteller and discuss children's picture books through the lens of the humanities. And my favorite example is The True Story of the Three Little Pigs.
Yeah.
That's a primetime title that is in many of the different series. And the families hear the story and then talk about, well, what do we think? Is the wolf really guilty? Why do you think he's guilty? Did he receive a fair trial? Is that look like jury of his peers and that's there sitting in the jury box and on the judge's bench? And they talk about the picture books in that context so that it's not kind of a who, what, where, when. It's a deeper, richer discussion to help build critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. And Primetime was developed, goodness, I think it's almost 30 years now, by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. And Georgia has been an affiliate state consistently since 2007, but Georgia's involvement even goes back to when they did their first national expansion in the late 90s. So that's a neat program. A lot of times the community organizer, a member of that team, is someone from the local school. It could be mm-hmm. a reading recovery teacher, parent liaison, mm-hmm. Someone that's coordinating the Title I funds.
Mm-hmm.
The program is also offered as a English-Spanish program, so an ESL coordinator for the district mm-hmm. sometimes acts in the role of finding those vulnerable families, because the program isn't for the summer readers, the families that are there at every puppet show and story time. It's mm-hmm. for, you know, the new families that haven't
sure.
yet discovered the joy of the public library. And that's where a strong school partnership is invaluable, because there's usually a trusted, vetted person mm-hmm. embedded in the target community that can vouch for the library and say, no, I think this program would be great. They're going
to
give you supper and you can bring the little ones and you're going to talk about books. And we give the books away too at the end.
Mm-hmm.
as a way to start building little home
libraries.
That
sounds fabulous.
It is fabulous. Yeah. And it's another way of cross-collaboration and interagency,
absolutely,
inter-organizational,
absolutely,
collaboration.
And the primetime grants have ended for this fiscal year, but if any school districts listening are interested, they could, now is the time to reach out to their library and say, hey, I hear that this grant's coming up, because we'll open that grant window on August 1st.
August 1st.
Yep.
That's an important target date. We'll make sure that we put that on the website too.
And we train everybody locally through a wonderful partnership that my agency has with the Sandra Dunnigan Deal Center for Early Language and Literacy. Mm-hmm. They've been a primetime funding partner for a couple of years now, and we get to do the training down there in Milledgeville each December. It's really lovely to do. So
another a point I want to move on to is just really sort of talking about the steps for partnering and getting started with your local library.
Okay. Well, I guess that the first step is really kind of being aware of who you might want to reach out to. And I guess let me ask a question. At the local school districts or the schools individually, who kind of makes this L4 grant happen? Is it a principal?
It really depends across districts, and that could be because districts, you know, are big and have a lot of staff at the central office. Other districts are not so big, and they have, you know, two schools.
Okay.
And so,
it just depends.
Yeah, it could be the grant coordinator. It could be, you know, a lot of districts have put together literacy teams.
Mm-hmm. My first suggestion would be to make sure, as you are putting together your local implementation team, to make sure that there's somebody from your public library that sits in that group with you.
Mm-hmm.
And libraries, I think, enjoy a good reputation in a community, that we are an anchor institution, but sometimes folks, as they're putting together these teams, don't always think about the public library. I mean, they know that it exists, but as you're putting together the team, they're not maybe always thinking about the public library. So here's my plug to please think about your public library as you're putting together those teams. And I know from my experience around the state with initiatives like Get Georgia Reading, I know that that happens lots and lots. There are lots of libraries that are, in fact, have a seat at the table. So that's great.
Yes.
And I do see that happen. I didn't mean to imply libraries are left out all the time. But if you don't have somebody, now might be a time to include them. And beyond that, I'm happy after the podcast to put anybody in touch. It can be hard. Sometimes the library's website doesn't always have a list of staff, or there's a list of 100 staff and you're not sure who to reach out to. Mm-hmm. I am always happy to help school districts make the connection with the right folks at their library. And once that happens, then they can, you know, I don't have to be involved. They can talk amongst themselves and start to build that.
And I'm glad you mentioned Get Georgia Reading too, just because we are all kind of in the same space and trying to work together. So,
well, they're all the same kids. We're all working for Georgia's kids and families.
Right. Yeah. And I think you mentioned a key term here, and that is that libraries are an anchor institution. And they truly are. You know, I think that when people came to this country in the past, that was one of the first spaces, right, where they went to acquire literacy. And so when you talk about the importance of libraries being a space where populations who are vulnerable, populations who need access to texts, those texts might be digital, those texts might be print, it might just be the oral language, because we know, again, the research supports the importance of being able to have rich conversations across the spectrum, the birth to five spectrum, as well as elementary, middle, high school for single language learners and dual language learners.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up. So you were saying that, you know, one of the key points is to make sure that you have library representation at the table. They have a seat at the table. What are some other important steps?
Well, and I think that partnerships and building relationships takes time. Mm-hmm. And I just want to acknowledge everybody is busy. Everyone has a lot that they do. Teachers and educators work extremely hard. It can be difficult to, because teachers generally aren't going to be answering phone calls and on email during the time school's in session. Mm-hmm. And just, I guess my advice would be to, if you don't get an answer from your email, then I maybe would send a second email and just kind of follow up. And sometimes you make a great connection at a workshop or a conference or a meeting, and you're excited and there's a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And then everybody gets back and you're back in your lane and you're working hard, and that gets forgotten sometimes. So I just encourage everybody to keep at it. Mm-hmm. That it can take a lot of time to build that trusted relationship, but once it's there, it really can be fabulous for the entire community.
For the whole community, right? Yes. It's like worthwhile.
It's worth that
work that goes into the initial.
Yeah, it's worth reaching out. And
so, can you talk just a little bit about some of the challenges that exist, or even barriers?
Well, I guess
to developing strong partnerships.
The time element with folks' schedules, not really maybe knowing what the other does. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in schools there can be a lot of acronyms and a lot of jargon. Mm-hmm. That the library staff, not coming, we're sort of education adjacent, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't always know the language. And making it easier to understand what it is that the school is doing, or what kind of that really simple bottom line is. We'd like kids to be doing X. Mm-hmm. In a way that maybe doesn't involve the word rubric or rigor or some of those other
right
words that we just aren't, I mean, we don't use that.
Yes.
Typically.
Yes.
We want to be a place to provide access. We want to be a welcoming community space.
Yes.
We've got the resources and we want to share those out. And sometimes it can be hard for staff to find the time to do that outreach. We're really good at once you're in our building, but it can be harder for us to get out and kind of make ourselves known. I hope today, as a result of the podcast, I get lots of districts that want assistance in finding the right person at their local library to reach out to, because I can certainly make those introductions.
And I'll add that we might be talking to a specific audience of L4GA districts today, mm-hmm. but we hope that our audience gets much bigger,
because
any of these resources are available to all districts in Georgia.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
That's
absolutely
right. Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah, you're an essential partner. And we're going to provide a tool too, collaboration toolkit that was developed in collaboration with the American Association of School Librarians, the Association of Library Service to Children, Young Adult Library Services Association.
Yeah, divisions of the American Library Association.
That's right. And so a link to that document will be available for everybody, so that they can sort of go through these steps and see some of the formal and informal processes that can be integrated into the development of a library partnership. So can you tell us how people can contact you? What's
yes.
the best way?
Email is the best way, and that's eblack@Georgia, and Georgia's spelled out, Georgialibraries.org.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.